Blimey. This is one out of a jam jar you got here.
House of Mystery contains demons, angels, elementals, magicians, wizards, apparitions, adult language, and discussions. If you're easily offended, do not enter the House of Mystery.
All right, then. On with the show.
All right. Hello, hello, hello. Welcome, everyone, to the House of Mystery. Enter if you dare. This is the John Constantine and Friends podcast. That's right. Exclusive to the Rain Man Digital Network, rainmandigitalmedia.com. You can also find all of our shows, past and present, on Stitcher, iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Just search House of Mystery. Leave us those reviews. Share the show. Talk to us on Facebook, facebook.com/House of Mystery. Hello, Dave. How are you?
How's it going?
All right, so we got a special show lined up, a special series of shows.
Oh, God, dude, I'm so excited for this.
This is an era of Constantine. This is the season of Hellblazer. There's just so much to discuss. This will be show one of a lot to come. We may boost our shows. We were doing twice a month. We may end up doing four shows a month at this point because there is just so much going on when it comes to the world of Constantine. And in this episode, we're going to discuss and break down the Deceased one-shot number one titled A Good Day to Die. This one-shot is based on the epic horror limited series by Tom Taylor and Trevor Hairston. The setup is quite simple. Within an alternate universe where Deceased takes place, it's the end of the world.
Yes.
A zombie virus of apocalyption. Is that how you would say that? Apocalyption?
Apocalyptic.
They call it apocalyption.
Oh, yeah.
Apocalyption. A zombie virus of apocalyption origin.
Yeah, because when you find out that it comes from the world of apocalypse,
yeah,
then it makes sense.
Yes, they say a zombie virus of apocalyption origin has been unleashed on the entire DC universe.
Yep.
It transmits through internet, online services. Anyone who comes in contact with this virus is transformed into a raging, flesh-eating monster. Not even superheroes can fight against that viral infection. The virus within the main storyline has claimed the lives of heroes and villains. Yep. No spoilers here, but some pretty big names. Which is the beautiful thing about a limited series or any storyline that takes place outside the normal DC continuity. You can have some fun.
Oh, yeah. I mean, when you deal with, like, Elseworlds, I mean,
would you consider this an Elseworld? It isn't by title, but it is, I guess, in the grand scheme of things, I guess it could be considered an Elseworlds, right?
Yeah, because, yeah. Like, when you think about it, that's the whole point of Elseworlds is, like, the question of what would happen if this happened. And I'm very glad. I'm glad, but I'm also regretful that I didn't jump onto the bandwagon of Deceased.
Yeah.
When it first came
out.
You
and me both, Dave.
Because, like, I was tired of zombies. I'm tired of, like, you know, comic book takes on zombies.
It's just an easy gimmick at this point to grab some cash.
But when you read it and you realize what they're trying to do, it's amazing.
Yeah.
Hand on heart.
Look at you. Hand on heart. I pledge of allegiance. Yeah.
Hand on heart. I know a lot of people say that, well, Marvel Zombies did it and they did it the best.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Come on.
To this date, I've read Deceased. The last issue came out just recently. Completely finished.
Let's not get far into
better than Marvel Zombies.
No spoilers, David. I will jump over this table and I will infect you with a different type of virus. All right. So the world is crawling with super amped zombies on top of regular zombies. Needless to say, it's not easily contained or to defend against. In Deceased, A Good Day to Die, number one, we splinter off from the main series with the Justice League to spend a little time with another group of heroes also trying to fight this zombie apocalypse.
Yes.
And Dave, spoilers will be dropped when it comes to this series specifically, when it comes to this issue, I should say, when it comes to this specific issue. So know that now, listeners, we're going to get into that, to the ins and outs of this issue here. So if you haven't read it and you're really thinking about, then push pause, go read the issue, then come back and listen to the rest of the discussion. Or, hey, if you're not sold yet, then keep listening because you may be sold. But the reason we are covering this, Dave, I think it should be obvious. This little group led by Mr. Terrific decides to recruit the one and only John Constantine. And that's why we're covering it. And that's exactly why I started reading Deceased. And that's where the story really takes off. And it's the only reason, Dave, honestly, I decided to start reading the Deceased series. Because as you mentioned, zombies are played out. Am I a zombie fan? Yes. But I have a love-hate relationship with the zombie genre. Because for every five shit movies or five shit comics, you maybe have one that is a story worth watching or listening to or telling. It just played out.
Yeah.
And it's hard for me to say that, Dave, because I love the exploitation era. I love the era of the 60s and 70s. I feel like we got some of the best zombie pictures from that time period. I love it. You and I are both film fanatics. We're film gurus. Some call us film historians. We know everything about the cinema. And how can you love the cinema and despise the zombie genre? It's unheard of.
Yes.
It's unheard of. But in this day and era, we have been shoved zombies down the throat.
It is played out. Absolutely, yeah. Played out. And I'm a huge zombie fanatic. I love the old school zombie movies.
You more so than me.
Yeah. And the zombie genre has been played out because of the mainstream. I mean, it's the go-to for anybody who wants to break into the horror genre. Is like, oh, it's easy. Let's do zombies. Let's do. And I don't care if you try to make different zombie films. Like, let's take a different take on a zombie film. They eat people. That's it.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. It pretty much it's all been played out. And that's partially why this series of Deceased fell through below the radar on everyone, because everyone just is played out. And
but it did perform very well. It was the number one selling comic. Yeah. Deceased number one was the number one selling comic. So I think a lot of people were interested, Dave. There's a reason why zombies are played out. It's because studios and comic book publishing companies are all like, hey, let's feed the craze.
Yeah.
And when you have a craze, sometimes it becomes just a bunch of garbage just to feed the masses. But that's the only reason why I decided to read Deceased, was because of John Constantine's connection. Once I heard back in, I believe it was June, according to bleedingcool.com, that's the site I first read the news. That's when I was intrigued by, not that it wasn't intriguing to begin with, but like any comic book reader knows, there's always something new. And I think most of us are 6 months behind as well. So it's like, hey, this is kind of interesting. I might check it out. But then when I found out John Constantine was involved, I'm like, okay, you know what? I'm going to bump this up on my reading list. I got to read Deceased 1-6 and then read the one shot. Of course, there's no waiting list when it comes to Constantine.
Yeah. I mean,
I stop whatever I'm doing and read what he's in. And it's why I read Batman Damned before finishing my pile of other comics.
And the amazing thing is, once they threw in Constantine into this mix, I love the fact that it continued the trend that, I'm sorry, you, a lot of people may not notice this, but Constantine's starting to pick up real steam as a character
as a mainstream hero. Isn't that weird?
And it's very strange.
He's always been our own little secret.
Yeah.
Like, oh, who's Constantine? I've never heard of him before. Well, let me talk to you about him. Now it's like, oh, yeah, I've heard of Constantine. I'm like, fuck you.
It's like, I hate you.
It used
people.
To be my secret. It used to be a secret group where it's like, oh, you know Constantine? Yeah, I know Constantine. Oh, sweet. You're my best buddy. So that's kind of like, I like that he's getting more attention.
Yes.
But at the same time, I also miss the old days.
When it's like, it's our good little secret that it's like a secret club.
Right.
Now it's like when you go to the club of Constantine, every schmuck is in there now saying, yes, I've been a fan of Constantine since the early 2000s. It's like,
you're 17. You were five. Why are you lying?
Why are you lying to me?
You're a liar. Yeah. So I was aware of Deceased. And I was impressed with the artwork and the amazingly beautiful variant covers, but it wasn't until June when the news broke that Constantine would be joining the limited series in a one-shot. The article read, Deceased was the best-selling DC Comics title in May, with comic book stores ordering three times as many copies as they did of Batman and over twice as many copies as Doomsday Clock. So clearly limiting it to six issues just isn't enough for DC, which is why DC was set to publish an oversized and, according to this article, overpriced one shot. I disagree. I only think something's overpriced if it was garbage.
Yeah, if it was low quality.
This issue was $4.99. I would gladly pay $6-$7 for this issue.
Oh, yeah.
So when Bleeding Cool broke the article in the news that Tom Taylor would be treading on Tom King's territory or turf, because we'd be dealing with Mr. Miracle and Big Barada alongside
Barda.
Is it Barda?
Yeah, it's Barda.
What did I say?
Barada.
Listen, Dave, don't mock me, okay? These are all fake names. Have you ever? How do you know that is Barda? How do you have you heard it?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. She's a main character.
But have you heard it?
Yes.
Like in a cartoon?
In a cartoon.
Okay. Well, then you win. And I will slowly slink into obscurity.
Security.
So stupid. That Big Barda alongside John Constantine and Booster Gold and Blue Beetle. These are all kind of like maybe not Barda at this point, but they're part of the New Gods, right? Am I right?
Okay. They're part of the New Gods.
So I do know. I just don't know how to pronounce
the best part by far is if you look at this title, it deals with all the cult heroes that we've all fallen in love with.
Right.
Mr. Miracle, yes. Big Barda. You have Mr. Terrific. You have Booster Gold. And
I disagree with you on the Mr. Terrific friend.
Mr. Terrific, though, dude.
He's not very terrific.
If you read some of the old ones, I forgot who did the series on Mr. Terrific. Mm-hmm. It was fantastic.
Well, send me a link and maybe I'll check it out, because I just don't fucking care.
Oh, that's the thing. I didn't care about him until I started reading his book. And I'm like going, this guy is like Reed Richards of DC Universe, smarter than Batman. Where the hell is he trying to help the Justice League? And why is the Justice League not using him more?
Yeah.
Well, and you find out that basically he's the go-to guy of Batman.
Yeah.
And on top of that, you have the very, very popular team of Booster Gold and Blue Beetle, not Jaime Reyes Blue Beetle, but Ted Kord.
Yeah.
And then on top of this, like, marvelous cult hero cake, you have the king of all of John Constantine.
Yeah.
And Constantine is basically the guy that saves everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. And now what makes it even better, it would seem like they are working on something from the backside that would continue Constantine's importance in this alternate universe, because the way it ended was all kinds of hellblazery epicness. Mm-hmm. Typically with one shots, they go one of two ways. Either, holy shit, give me more. Or, well, that was anticlimactic. Eh, why did I waste $7 on this fucking bullshit? And this was the latter. Or the former. Wait, which one is it? The former?
I think the former.
The former. Thank you. David, you are just a wealth of knowledge this episode. In fact, you're like my Mr. Terrific. People are going to find out years to come that my entire shows relied on your knowledge.
On my knowledge.
Yeah. No, I think that's what ultimately. Where was I at? I lost my train of thought.
You were talking about like the epicness of that, the way it ended.
Yeah, the way it ended was so great. It's so. Let's just get into it. We set it up. We blew it. Let's just get into this down to the ins and outs and make our thoughts a bit more formal, okay?
Yeah.
So the synopsis. While the mainstays of the Justice League, Superman, Green Lantern, and Wonder Woman, battle the worldwide infection in the pages of Deceased, a group of other heroes work to stop the impending apocalypse. No matter who they have to kill, Mr. Terrific assembles a motley group of surviving heroes, including Mr. Miracle, Big Barda, not Big Barada, John Constantine, Blue Beetle, and Booster Gold as they attempt to fight back against the tide of death. Can this ragtag group save the world where the Justice League has thus far failed? Now, Dave, I kind of know your thoughts on this, but again, making it more formal, give me your initial thoughts on the issue. Did you have expectations before going in, and were you already reading the main deceased title beforehand?
At that point, I was reading the main deceased title, and I went in with this one with semi-high expectations, solely because Deceased has been a fantastic series so far. And on top of that, you're dealing with characters that I feel are like some of my favorites.
Okay, hold on. So did you start reading this before they had announced that Constantine would be in a one-shot?
Deceased, yes.
Okay.
And that's what got me really excited, because throughout Deceased, I thought it was really cool how they handled all the heroes and everything. But then I was like going, well, what about these guys? Couldn't these guys be helpful in this type of scenario? And I was really happy with the characters they chose, because it's kind of like that old argument that you always hear geeks have, where, oh, if this character was here, he would know what to do. Why did they call on him?
Right.
And all that. And that's what I really liked about this issue.
They was brought like, those characters in.
They brought those characters in, and they basically answered, okay, this is what makes the whole story of Deceased so bleak.
Well, the fact that it makes sense to bring Mr. Terrific in, just because the fact that this virus is transmitted technologically as well.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of a no-brainer, especially knowing Mr. Terrific's background. I wish I didn't know his background, because I just don't like him. But knowing his background, it does make sense.
Yes. And then on top of that, you bring in Mr. Miracle and Big Barda, because this is where the virus first started, was the apocalyptic world where Darkseid is, Apocalypse.
Yeah.
And there's only one, there's only a pretty much, actually, he is the only hero that I could think of that would know anything about Apocalypse at this point that the heroes can trust on, which is Mr. Terrific and Big Barda.
Yeah.
So you got to bring those guys in, because they'll know. And that made sense to me when Mr. Terrific brought in those characters. And the reason why he brings in Constantine is fantastic, because it shows how powerful John really is.
Yeah.
He considers Mr. Terrific is like going, I consider John Constantine probably the go-to magic guy.
From a writing standpoint, it made me appreciate Mr. Terrific's character a little bit more. It didn't really matter, I guess, in the grand scheme of things, because this is an alternate universe, and who's to say that he has this type of deductive skills in our universe? Would he rely on Constantine? However, this version of Mr. Terrific was a bit more intriguing to me, because he was willing to bypass the analytical approach and say, listen, I can't make heads or tail of this. I mean, I can't figure out this virus. My only shot was to go to the source, potentially, which was the New Gods.
Yes.
And they don't know what's up. Their world's destroyed. Like, okay, well, then what do I do now? Well, let's now we have two options. We have three options.
Yes.
And the second and the least, I guess, the least horrible option was to call upon the use of magic, which would lead him to John Constantine. And that setup I think allowed me to appreciate Mr. Terrific a bit more, because it showed his willingness to kind of go outside his
comfort zone.
His comfort zone, yeah.
Because like on top of that, then you throw, okay, let's see if magic can figure it out. And then on top of that, the reason why you bring in Booster Gold, essentially because Booster was the one that Mr. Terrific needed, but he needed Ted Kord, because Ted Kord's tied to Booster Gold because of time travel. Can we do anything with time travel?
And we'll get to that in a second. All right. So my expectations, Dave, I always have expectations when it comes to John Constantine. And although I'd consider myself a bit more of, I consider myself a bit more open-minded than the usual Hellblazer Constantine fan. I'm picky when it comes to who writes Constantine, but I'm also willing to have that open mind of, okay, well, you know what? They're going to do this. I know a lot of people back in, 2011, when the New 52 started, a lot of people were upset. A lot of people were, confused. A lot of people were afraid. Like, what the fuck are you doing? And I was nervous because why fix what's not broken, right?
Yeah.
However, I was also open-minded because if this means more Hellblazer stories or more Constantine stories and you don't completely destroy the character, then I'm okay. But that being said, I'm more open-minded, but that doesn't mean I don't have my expectations as a nitpicky John Constantine fans. And setting aside the vertical run for the moment, for example, I didn't think the writer who did the Hellblazer for Rebirth, Simon Oliver, was awful at writing for Constantine per se, but he wasn't great either.
Yeah.
I was getting bored, and that never has really happened when I read anything with John Constantine. He fell into the category of writers that I've spoken about on this show many times. They might have one particular aspect of the Hellblazer world down, but they lack the skill in another. So because of that, the one thing you can't lack is the understanding of Constantine's characterization. Yeah. And that's the thing I always look for. I'm a little forgiving with the mythos of the world, which was one of my bigger problems if I had to sit down and analyze the Constantine Hellblazer Rebirth issues. The world of Constantine didn't feel right, didn't quite click.
Yeah.
But that makes sense. However, the writer, the head writer that closed out the series, I feel like understood Constantine very well.
Yes.
And that's the one thing I look at no matter what. And I feel that Tom Taylor in this one shot here, A Good Day to Die, did a good job capturing Constantine's voice.
Yes, that's the trick, is capturing Constantine's voice. I mean,
and I don't mean him saying bullocks a few times and whipping out a cigarette. Like, hey guys, I'm riding Constantine. He's going to say bullocks and he's going to smoke a lot.
And he's going to wear a brown trench coat, be blonde, and be from England.
Right.
No.
You need to understand what makes them tick.
Yeah.
There's a moment that I can specifically state. And the moment when we first were introduced to Constantine, I started laughing when Terrific says that the only real option they haven't tried yet to stop the virus is magic.
Magic.
And then enter Constantine, literally the next page. One full page of carnage broken into four horizontal panels with each one starting from the top and sequentially moving in closer as we get to the bottom to John as he's being chased by a zombie horde.
Yeah.
I knew from that moment, that introduction, that Taylor was a Constantine fan like the rest of us.
Because he gets the visual cues of the old Vertigo run. When I first saw that page, it reminded me of the old Vertigo art, the way the panels were set up and everything. And it was almost kind of like his way of saying, hey, I know what Constantine Hellblazer fans love. I understand this universe. I understand how to tell a Constantine story.
Right. And it was also poetic because we always know that the world is against John Constantine. The chips are always stacked against John Constantine. And the fact that his introduction was literally him in a sea of zombies. I was like, this is fucking perfect. This is how you introduce Constantine. And then that moment where we see the realness of John Constantine slip through within a matter of two pages of him being introduced, we see his friend die, Chaz, right?
Chaz, yeah.
And there's a moment of regret.
Yeah.
And the fact that we pick up on that immediately and that he doesn't want to put his friend down, he gives us a real moment as well with Constantine, knowing that the next, I don't know, dozen pages or so are going to be a little bit more of the Constantine who hides behind his snark. You know, the guy who tries to hide within the bottom of a bottle. But he gave us that moment. And that, to me, set the stage. And that was all done in two pages. And the fact that Tom Taylor knew exactly what he needed to do with Constantine in a short amount of time, because the rest of the story, for the most part, moving forward, was going to be built around him.
Around him. And not only that, to be able to give us that in two pages with minimal dialogue.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, just him saying, "Aw, mate," I was like going, that is John's voice. That is the Constantine as the character. That's
yep.
him. He's a man of few words. He's not going to actually pontificate about.
Oh, look at you. Pontificate. I like
pontificate
that.
About like Chaz being turned into a zombie. Constantine is the guy that basically says, "Well, shit."
Yeah.
And then just does it.
Yeah. And Dave, that's when I let my guard down. I put my foot up, or put my feet up, and I enjoyed the read. I was relaxed. Yeah. I was like, you know what? I don't have to worry no more. I feel good right now. And from that point forward, the issue just got better and better and better. And there were so many great Constantine moments. And in a one shot like this, or a guest spot in another title, that's really all I look for when it comes to Constantine being in something. I want to feel happy knowing, okay, you know what? This writer wasn't just using Constantine because, hey, he's an easy solution to a plot fix or a plot issue, or, hey, the publishing company, DC, told me I need to use him for this because we're going to branch off into another story. No, this guy gets it.
Yeah.
But what I didn't expect, Dave, and this was a welcome surprise, what I didn't expect was the setup for a much bigger story involving, apparently, Zatanna and Dr. Fate. Now, in the world, you read more comics than I do, Dave. Yeah. I stick specifically to a few titles, and I read a lot of older stuff that I need to catch up on. But I stick specifically to Constantine for the most part. And I read some Superman titles here and there. I read Batman Metal, and I read a few other things here and there. But for the most part, I don't have a lot of time. You, however,
I have no life.
You read so many things.
Yeah.
Being someone who reads comic books nearly on a daily basis, Dave, multiple issues, multiple titles, was that still a bit of a surprise to see them throwing in Zatanna and Dr. Fate and then setting us up for a big story in this alternate reality that involves Constantine?
Yes, it was a big surprise because I was expecting just a one shot, but now you kind of get a gauge that this is gearing up for something bigger. They want to continue this line of Deceased. And John's going to play a big role in the next part of Deceased because, like,
I really hope so.
Because, like, I'm not going to spoil anything. Hold on.
I know where you're going to go. Yeah. I'm going to set you up. Now, originally, when I read this, I'm like, well, his story is going to get wrapped up in like one of the later issues of the regular Deceased storyline because there's six issues. It's a limited series.
Yeah.
Now, we'll say this. He is not in the final issue.
He is not in the final issue.
So what does that mean, Dave?
Exactly.
That means we're going to get more.
We have to get more of this universe.
Yeah, you don't give us a cliffhanger like that. And now let's say they wanted to end it with Constantine being the last man standing, which was fucking awesome. I didn't expect for Constantine to be literally the last man standing. But now that they did it, now if it's a one shot, I'm like, okay, well, we can all end on that note, right? Okay, he's the last man standing. He's going to save the world with magic, if that's what they're alluding to. But it was more than that. Dr. Fate showed up with Zatanna and said, essentially, I'm paraphrasing here, this is not your time to die. So they were interfering to rescue him.
Yes.
They're setting up a narrative. That was a narrative nugget. Mr. Terrific gets ripped in half by a zombie. Barda. Constantine allows zombies to kill a linear man, which I thought was fucking amazing.
Because he was pissed off at linear man. And so
on par with Constantine.
Yeah, I love that use of linear man because a lot of people basically say, oh, why don't they just go back in the future or back to the past to change everything? a lot of people don't understand that there are forces in the DC universe that are there, timekeepers that are there to stop you.
Which is one of the smarter moves in the DC universe, because when you have comics that are larger than life and everything's hyper real and you can always do time travel to fix a problem, why would there ever be problems?
Exactly.
So it's one of the things I do appreciate.
But I appreciate the fact that Constantine's that type of character that basically looks at fate and looks at destiny and says, fuck you.
Well, literally, because he headbutts
Dr. Fate, which
no,
is,
he no, headbutted no, he headbutts Linear Man.
Linear Man.
Yeah.
Because I remember that he hits
and
Dr.
then
Fate.
Binds him so that he can't escape, because Linear Man was standing by allowing the world to fall apart because he's not there to interfere.
Yeah.
He's there to secure the timeline, essentially, and then he was going to leave so he doesn't die. And I loved that Constantine headbunted this super being who knows this individual's true power. The fact that he's the one of the timekeepers. Headbunts him and then binds him so he can't leave and allows him to get mauled to death and ripped apart by zombies. I mean, I love it. But the takeaway from all this, besides the fact that it was just so fucking Constantine, there's a narrative nugget for this version of Constantine in this alternate deceased reality. The Linear Man did not know Constantine's future, number one.
Yes.
And or fate. And they brought it to our attention very clearly. There was a question. He was baffled why he couldn't see Constantine's future. He could not see it. He was surprised. Then we have Dr. Fate, as I said, show up with Zatanna, and they say that his story doesn't end here. He's needed elsewhere. That being said, Dave, are they setting up a story for Constantine in this alternate reality? And I'm not talking another one shot. I'm talking a full blown fucking story.
I believe so, because especially when you read the first issues of Deceased 1-6, and then you read the one shot, A Good Day to Die, you realize that they just set up Constantine for a huge epic hero super arc.
Yeah.
Where he is the last man on Earth. And it's his job to see if he can save Earth. And without giving any spoilers, as we alluded, the final issue of Deceased, you don't see Constantine.
Yeah. Which, dude, because I haven't caught up yet on the final issue of Deceased. So when I asked you before the show today, I said, Dave, does he
show up? No, he doesn't.
And I was glad. I was like, yes.
Because the whole thing is, the thing I loved was this story is separate from the main story in Deceased, because the main story in Deceased deals with
same continuity, though. Let's make
same
that
continuity, yes. But it's those hero stories. What do they do? What do they do to get out of this scenario? And they're honestly gearing up to show, okay, what about other heroes? Maybe the other heroes forgot about these heroes, which is the world is a big place.
Exactly. Right.
You can't watch everybody. So the question becomes is like, well, we saw this group of heroes, what they did in the first part, Deceased 1-6.
Mm-hmm.
What about the other heroes? Because there's a ton of them out there still that they, a lot of people, because of how popular Deceased was, now everyone's like going, well, what about this character? Oh, these characters decide to stay back. What about them? Who's going to help them? What about him? And when you get to A Good Day to Die, you begin to see that Constantine is being geared up to be the main character, because he's going to be the guy that says, F you, I'm saving the world. And it's Constantine versus the world.
Okay, but my question is this. Would they run an alternate series concurrently with the new Hellblazer title that is set within the Sandman universe? And we know this is, let me preface, we know this is DC, and DC loves to run a bunch of, you know, parallel titles. Like, that's not a thing.
Yes.
But we're not dealing with Batman here. We're not dealing with Action Comics and a Superman title. We're not dealing with Batman Metal and then the regular Batman title. we're dealing with Constantine. He is not as well known. He's not as mainstream as the others. He's getting there, but he still has a long way to go. Would they take away from the hoopla and the celebration of Hellblazer returning to form as part of the Sandman universe with an alternate reality series? Do you see them doing that?
Yes, I do.
Really?
Flat out. Because thanks to Deceased, they've already established that Deceased is a quote-unquote Elseworlds onto itself.
Right, but from a business standpoint, do you think it would distract from marketing efforts?
No, because you're actually putting that character out there for everyone to gear up so that people can watch or read Deceased and go, hey, Constantine's pretty awesome now.
Right.
I want to know why he's so powerful. Powerful.
Barada. Barada. Make fun of me again, motherfucker. So stupid.
But I want to see what makes this character tick. Yeah. I'll see him in the regular universe. Right. Okay. And then they came out with Hellblazer, the Sandman universe, Hellblazer again. Perfect time. It's a perfect time for Constantine.
Yeah. Okay. That's a fair perspective. I can't disagree with that.
I mean,
if they do, let's say they do another limited series or maybe an ongoing series, who knows? They probably will wait so that they don't run the risk of stealing the thunder of the Hellblazer launch, which is just a few weeks away. We already have the Sandman universe issue number one, yep, that introduces Constantine back into the world. But the actual Hellblazer title will launch in the later part of November.
Yeah.
So I do see them waiting. I don't think we're getting anything now.
But they're gearing up.
Yes.
If you think about it.
I can see that. Yeah.
We, since the beginning of when me and you started covering Constantine,
mm-hmm,
if you look at the business trend overall, you kind of see that DC, both in comics and in other media, there's heroes that they want to focus on and bring up. You've already ran the course with Superman, Batman, and Wonder Woman. Those are the Trinity. That's the
right,
the go-tos for all DC. But now DC is like going, who can we run our banner on?
There's again? Only so much Batman they can do.
And there's so much Batman. And there's so much.
I love Batman, but when you restructure your entire DC universe and the entire foundation of your DC universe is now built upon one character, that gets old.
Yeah.
And I mean, I can read Batman forever, but how long do we rely on one character to really pull the imprint? Because isn't Batman, correct me if I'm wrong, Batman's the last great selling title, big selling title. Specifically, yeah. Metal, what was it, a year and a half ago now, 2 years ago? That was a huge, huge,
huge thing.
Success for them. And then you have, of course, the Batman Who Laughs. There's room. There's so much room for more characters. And I do think Constantine could fit the bill.
And then as a business, if you kind of look at it, and I know a lot of people say, David, you're talking about Warner Brothers and DC. The people that we all hate.
Well, they don't know how to run a business. Let's just be clear about that.
If you think of it as a business and you look at, okay, what characters have we been noticing have been going on an uptrend? Constantine the series, yes. The argument is the series got canceled, but the fan base would be all of a sudden, you see this fan base all of a sudden growing because of that. Then you see the uptick in a series of Legends of Tomorrow by introducing who? Constantine. That's interesting. Comic book wise, suddenly you introduce Constantine in the Batman,
right?
Batman books.
Yep. Suddenly,
Batman Damned.
And that was a huge sell
and suddenly
success for them.
The stock went up.
Yeah.
You
there is, without a doubt, there is a huge push when it comes to, there really is. And that has made me very happy. As we said at the top of the show, it seems like there's a lot of things going on in the world of Constantine, more so than I think. Would you say this is the most? Sometimes grammar eludes me. Is this the biggest push we've seen in the within the last couple of years we've seen for Hellblazer, and I think ever.
Yeah, ever.
It's ever, right?
Yeah, because like you even talk, the one thing that I've also told people is people say, well, he's in this and this. And I basically said, also in their one of their most underrated titles that's based on what? Their video games, Injustice.
Right, yeah.
Injustice Series 2, guess who was a main character that they wanted to ask what would he be doing in the Injustice universe? Mm-hmm. Constantine.
Yeah.
And well, his run in Injustice was badass.
Yeah.
Like, at the end of the day, that was a Constantine storyline because everyone got played by Constantine in the end in Injustice, and it made that character really popular.
Yeah.
So you see these little breadcrumbs around all their books, and
maybe that push with the, even though a lot of people like to scoff at the decisions surrounding the new 52 era, but maybe that idea actually worked for the longevity. I don't want to say longevity because Constantine has been around forever, before that, but maybe it's helped with making him a more long lasting
character,
household name.
Yes.
By bringing him into the, well, let me say this carefully because he's been a part of the main DC canon long before that, but there was a more concerted effort. There we go. A more concerted effort during the new 52 launch to really bring him into the stories.
Yeah.
A lot. I mean, you had, of course, the whole Justice League Dark thing that started in 2011, which then branched over to a Constantine series, I believe, that started in 2013.
And yeah,
and then there was another series that launched, I want to say, in 2015. So there has been a very concerted effort to really push Constantine to the mainstream.
Yeah, and as much as basically people say his new 52 run wasn't that good, just like what you alluded to in the beginning of the show.
It wasn't horrible. But you're talking about the Rebirth. Yeah, is what Rebirth. I was talking about.
Yeah. But it still was one of the better selling titles of DC.
Of course.
Why? Because people were
because you and
still
me
picking that
and
up.
Fans like me and you.
But then it started affecting the mainstream and mainstream audiences started wanting to buy his comic.
Yeah. So there is some smarts to what they were doing. And now what are they doing, Dave? Now they're taking him back and putting him into these other stories.
Other stories to make him even more front and center. Yeah.
So I'm excited, and I'm hoping they do bring it back to this specific topic, this discussion for today. I'm hoping this does lead to some type of either limited series or ongoing stories in this alternate reality.
I would be really surprised if they don't do anything more with Deceased.
It doesn't make sense, right?
The way it ended and the way the series ended.
Yeah.
It does not make sense why you would stop in that universe. Because, you know, it's for another discussion for another show that we'll cover. Maybe we'll cover more on the actual Deceased comic book. But when you get to the ending, you're like going, oh my God, it's still open-ended by the end of it.
I love it. I love it, Dave. Quit getting me excited over there. All right, so let's talk a little bit about Tom Taylor himself. Now, is this guy, this writer, was he on your radar?
Yeah, he did do some other titles in the past that were very well done.
He was known for, apparently, and I feel ashamed, but he was very well known for tons of Star Wars comics he wrote. Which include Darth Maul, Death Sentence, and Star Wars Blood Ties, which actually won the 2012 Stan Lee Excelsior Award. And then he has done work on DC Comics, of course, IDW, Wildstorm, 2000 AD. He wrote stories. Check this one out, Dave. Did you know he also wrote the series Injustice Gods? Among us.
And guess what? He's the one who brought in Constantine into Injustice.
Yeah, see, Dave, I didn't know. I did not realize he is the one behind that. So this guy does have a hard-on for John Constantine.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, love this guy.
He's done some really great work. And, I mean, outside of DC, he did the all-new Wolverine.
Yes.
Yeah. Which was fantastic. Tom Taylor has a way of actually taking characters and taking him into storylines that you would never expect, and they do fly under the radar.
He has fun with it, too.
He has fun with his stories, but it translates into really great stories that fly under the radar. All New Wolverine flew under the radar. People slept on that, and it was done very well. Injustice, Gods Among Us. Every single series of that comic book is so good. Even the video game players basically still look at the comics and say, that's canon.
Yeah.
That's what's going on. And it translates into the video game.
Yeah. And the video game, shame on them. They didn't have a Constantine character, did they?
No. But they had designed one.
They had designed one and they ended up not releasing it, right?
Yeah. They didn't release it because, like, they said Constantine would be too powerful.
Oh, come on.
And I was like, going, wow. That says a lot about John.
I would have bought that video game just for John Constantine. In fact, I bought the DC Villains Lego game for PlayStation 4. I want to say it came out less than a year ago. And I bought it when they announced that they were releasing a expansion and it was going to give you the option to play the Justice League Dark crew.
Yeah.
Dead Man, Swamp Thing, John Constantine. And guess what I did? I went right out and bought that game.
And then the best part by far about, like, when that was being talked about, Matt Ryan was, there was a chance that you would play the Matt Ryan version of Constantine on the video game. And everyone was excited, but then he didn't show up and people were upset. But then, like, video game people say, no, read the comic. You'll understand why John's not here.
Yeah. I don't understand, Dave. I'm very upset. All right. So let's talk about his creative writing as well. Not that sounds silly. Tom Taylor apparently does creative writing as well. Now, the writing panel. There we go. The writing and panel choices were very creative as well. Writing a comic book is a lot like writing a shooting script. You have to kind of put the entire picture there. Not like writing a novel where you can explain sounds and smells and you can get in the mind of the characters. A little different. You have to visually show things. And I felt like he did a really good job showing us the world in a very short amount of time. This, of course, being a one shot. And Laura Braga and Derek Robertson, the artists, did a really good job with the art. I love the grindhouse vibe. It's a style that has been consistent across the deceased issues. So that's another solid win for me as well. This was a fun little story. The end was epic as fuck. I could hear the music, the way it was written. Like if this was a film, I could hear the music. It felt cinematic. So I heard that soundtrack when Dr. Fate tells Constantine that the end has come and that they must prepare for what comes next. I heard like Lord of the Rings drums and the beating and that build up to the end fight sequence and then fade out. Tom Taylor and the artist did such a good job conveying the cinematic.
Yes.
And that's not easy to do in a two-dimensional medium.
And on top of that, conveying the cinematic in a John Constantine type of story. Because you get that epic moment, right? But then Constantine, being Constantine, shuts it down and says, no. Fuck that. I'm going to save the world.
The world isn't over until I say it.
Until I say it. And I'm like, yeah.
That's the most narcissistic thing Constantine has ever said. And he said a lot of narcissistic things. And it's very on par with John Constantine. I loved it.
I loved
it. Dave, give me your final thoughts.
Final thoughts on this book. It's a very good one shot. I do agree with you that a lot of people have to pick this up. If you're a Constantine fan, you will get a kick out of it. It'll make you want to pick up the whole 1 through 6 of Deceased because Deceased is just fantastic. Score wise for this, I would give this a solid 87, an 87, because it makes you want to. In a good way, makes you want to actually go get Deceased, but also in a bad way, makes me want to go out and buy more comics. So I give it a solid 87. Does the vision right. Tom Taylor does a fantastic job. I honestly want him to write more Constantine because
I agree.
He gets the character.
He gets the voice.
He gets the voice.
He nails the voice of Constantine. And that's something that so many writers that do delve into Constantine, they just don't grasp or understand the true characterization of the character of Constantine. And he does.
And he does.
I'm going to follow you up. I forgot to give it a percentage. I'm going to give this an 87 as well. I mean, I kind of want to give it an 88 just so I'm not on par. Or I'm not on this. I'm not copying you, but I feel like it's an 87.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we have a comic book show, Dave. I feel like we should tell people this. We have a comic book show that is exclusive to our Patreon subscribers. And we do plan to do a complete deceased discussion on that show. I'm not sure what or who will be hosting it or who will be involved completely. I know I will be in there. I'm sure you will be in there.
Yeah, I'll be glad to actually go in there.
And we may have one or two additional hosts. And the show is called Comic Book Chaos. And it's available specifically, or I should say exclusively, to our Patreon subscribers. And the show should be available later this month via our Patreon page, patreon.com/RainManDigital. Also, Dave, before we close out, let's remind people, leave us reviews on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play. Give us thumbs up. Search House of Mystery. Help us out. Thank you, David.
Thank you.
And good night.
My name is John Constantine. I'm the one who steps from the shadows, all trench coat and arrogance. I'll drive your demons away, kick them in the bollocks and spit on them when they're down, leaving only a nod and a wink and a wisecrack. I walk my path alone, because let's be honest, who'd be crazy enough to walk it with me?